The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Evidently expecting to find Jesus' corpse, some of his women followers go to the tomb with embalming spices. After a perplexing encounter with the empty tomb and angelic visitors, the women become the first to proclaim the amazing news of the resurrection. I begin reading at verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words and returned from the tomb. They told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I want you to imagine, or maybe even remember, someone who is very close to you, someone that you would speak to every day, somebody that you would confide in, somebody that you looked up to, somebody that you trusted with your whole heart. And that person dies. You're left devastated because you have depended upon this person for so many years. You have known this person for so many years. You have been close to this person, or maybe they had a special relationship to you as a husband or a wife, or as a son, a daughter, a parent, a good friend, and they die. You go to the funeral, and you look in the casket, and you see them lying there still. And then you go to the burial. And you see that body placed into the ground. A few days later, you go back to the grave to bring flowers or to sit and think, to meditate, to think about that life. You get to the cemetery and you notice there's destruction at the grave. There's dirt everywhere. The hole has been dug up once again. And you look inside that hole and the cover of the vault is thrown off. The casket is wide open. And there's nobody there. There is not a body in that casket. And you're outraged. Who would do such a thing? Who would desecrate a grave? Who would tear it apart? Who would steal a body? And then you look. Sitting off to the side is that person. And they're alive. And they're well. They're full of life and full of excitement. It's hard to believe. Can you put yourself in that situation? This has not happened before. It is not something that you can expect. That's what Jesus' followers went through on that first Easter morning. Even though Jesus had told them that he would die and that he on the third day he would be raised again from the dead, it was still too much to fathom, too much to take in. They were amazed. They were surprised. They were full of excitement. For the other disciples that weren't there at the grave, it was too much to be true. They couldn't believe it at that point. But Jesus rose from the dead. Now, go back and think about that person that you love dearly. We're going to add a little bit different twist to it. Think about that person that died, and they died from a tragic accident or a tragic death. Maybe it was a car accident. Maybe they were going to go off on a vacation and the jet didn't make it. Or maybe they were just going out to go shopping or going off to work and a terrorist bomb goes off. Or maybe they were just running up to the grocery store and a semi runs them over. Maybe it's a child, and that child dies. Unexpected, with so much more life ahead. Maybe a young person who is full of life, and that life is taken. A tragic death. This shouldn't have happened. It should not have happened, especially when deaths come out of sequence. When a young person dies before the parents, it's not supposed to happen that way. With the death of Jesus, it was a tragic death. It was a cruel death. Jesus was not supposed to die. He was full of life. People had hope in him. People had expectations. They had dreams. And it all came to an end. He died. He was killed in a tragic way. But yet, Jesus rose from the dead. He was able to overcome the worst things that people could do to him. Jesus had the power to overcome the evil that was placed upon him. That which was not supposed to happen, happened, but Christ overcame it. He rose from the dead. Now, one more twist on it. Think again about that person whom you loved. Your child, your parent, your husband, your wife, close friend. Not only did they die, not only did they die with a tragic accident, but it was your fault that they died, that you are to blame that they died. Maybe it was because you were driving the car and you weren't paying attention. You were fooling with the radio or with your phone, and the passenger was there in the car. You were involved in an accident, and that person dies. But you're saved. Or maybe it's that you contact a disease, and it's a contagious disease, and that person that you love catches it from you, but you survive, but they die. Or maybe it's you that said, I'm going to give a great gift to my kids and send them off on a vacation. And they're excited and they get on that jet, but the jet doesn't make it. You paid for their ticket. Or maybe it's as a child and you dare your friend to climb higher up in that tree until they get to a branch that does not support them anymore. You're at fault for that death. That's what happened to Jesus. We're at fault for that death. Because every time we sin, we put him on that tree. We put him on that cross. But the amazing thing is that he rose from the dead. And he willingly went to that cross. God sent his Son into this world to go to that cross and to die for us. And when Christ died, he took that guilt, he took that sin, he took that fault of ours upon himself, and he laid it to rest. It's gone. It's wiped clean, and we are made fresh. Now, sin is a rough thing. It's a terrible thing. There was a preacher who preached a horrendous sermon against sin. And it really made the people squirm in their seats. And they were upset. And after church, they started to come to the church president and complain to him about the preacher. You got to tone him down. You got to do something. You got to quiet him down a little bit. This is too rough. And so that afternoon, the president goes to the pastor's house and he says to the pastor, "Pastor, you've got to tone it down a bit. People are complaining about your sermon and how horrendous it was against sin. That people, if you continue to do that, people aren't going to come back to church, and that's going to cause them to sin more." And the preacher says, "Oh, I understand what you want me to do." He says, "You want me to rename it, to call it something else." And so the pastor goes to a shelf and he pulls down a bottle, and it's labeled with the skull and the crossbones. It's clearly poison. And he says, "Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take a piece of paper and I'm going to wrap it around this bottle and I'll label it. Maybe say, essence of peppermint. And that'll make it better, right?" "No, it makes it more dangerous yet. We need to call sin what it is. We need to call sin what it is. That it does kill. It's the cause of the trouble within this world." But the amazing thing is that Christ takes this sin upon himself. He goes to the cross and he wipes it out. He completely clears it out and he rises from the dead, bringing new life. And what that means for us is that now, as we live here in this life, that resurrection is pertinent, because each and every day we are given a new life. As we repent of our sins and as we remember that cross and that resurrection, our sins are wiped clean. We start over fresh. All that guilt, all that pain, all that regret, all those things that we have a hard time bearing, we can just simply place it on Christ and he wipes it out. He has risen from the dead. He has brought life, and he brings life to us each and every day so that we can continue to go on living. This resurrection also means that we are given the promise of a new life. Christ has the power over life and over death. He conquered death. Death, he destroyed death. And he shares that with us. He gives us the promise that we too will live to a new life. That even though we die in this world, even though we're dead, we're buried, we're put away, we still have life with Christ, and he will raise us up once again. Christ does have the power over life, and he has the power over the death, and he brings us into his resurrection. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.